We continue our learning Le'ilu Nishmas Davi B'Menachem Rosh HaMechaim Yaakov and Pinchas Eliyahu. We're in Yom HaPerek Gimel Mishnah Zayin. Mishnah is going to teach us that the big day lovan that the Kohen Gadol would do the avoda with, that he wore for Yom Kippur in the morning, they would be a little bit more expensive than the ones he would use for the avoda in the afternoon. So the Mishnah here says like this: Bashachar Hayolovesh Pelusin Shel Shneim Asar Moneh. In the morning, he would wear, for the avoda in the morning, he would wear, the Kohen Gadol would wear big day lavan that were made of linen, that came from the city Pelusin. Where's Pelusin? It's in Egypt. Some say it's Targum of the city Ramses. And it was made up of, what was the weight of this linen, these linen clothing, the big day lavan? Pelusin of Shnei Masar Maneh. We know a Maneh is a 100 dinar or 100 zuz in weight. We usually speak about coins, weight of silver, but it could have weight of clothing as well. So here the weight of it was 12 Maneh. So that's 1,200 dinar in weight. Ubein Harbayim, for the avoda of the afternoon, when he wore the big day lavan, he wore big day lavan linen clothing that were Hindavin, that were from India, that shel shmone meos zuz, of 100 zuz, of 800 zuz, which is 8 maneh. So 12 maneh in weight, 1,200 zuz in weight, and 800 zuz in weight in the afternoon. Divrei Rabbi Meir, who says altogether it should equal 2,000 zuz or 20 maneh altogether. But you see, in the morning is going to be more, 12 maneh in the morning and 8 maneh in the afternoon, altogether 20 maneh. That's Rabbi Meir's opinion. V'chachamim omrim, bashachar hayolovesh shel shmona asar maneh. Chachamim say it's more. In the morning, it wasn't 12 maneh in weight, the big day boots, the linen garments of the big day lavan, when he did the avodah Yom Kippur in the morning. It was 18 maneh worth. 1,800 dinar, 1,800 dinar in zuz in weight. And in the afternoon, uvein arbaim shel shnei masar maneh. As opposed to Rabbi Meir said it was 8 maneh, here it was 12 maneh. So 18 in the morning, 18 maneh in the morning, 12 maneh in the afternoon, altogether it's 30. So Rabbi Meir, altogether it's 20, and the Chachamim, altogether it's 30. And the Gemara says, why did the Chachamim have to say, now the Mishnah then says, hakol shloshim maneh, altogether it's 30. Now Rabbi Meir didn't say altogether it's 20. Why the Chachamim, I know how to add, 18 plus 12 is 30. So the Gemara says, you know why they said hakol shloshim maneh? To teach us that according to the Chachamim, you can, if you want, you don't have to do exactly 18 and 12. If you wanted to take a little bit off the expense or the weight of the morning linen garments and add on to the Ben Harbayim, that would be acceptable as well, as long as the morning was always a little bit more expensive than the afternoon, and as long as they would equal 30, that would be acceptable. Now, where's this derived from, this halacha about the morning being more important than the afternoon, and the linen garments, how expensive they are? So the pasuk says, there's the word bad four times in the Avodas Yom Kippur. Kisonas bad kodesh ilbash, umichnas say bad yihyu al basaretz too, uvavneit bad yachkor, uvemitznefes bad yitznof. Four times, but I have to keep emphasizing that it's bad out of linen, to teach us that it should be bad muvchar. It should be very expensive, the choicest of linen, and therefore we get from the cities, Pelusin in Mitzrayim, or Hindavin in India. So these are very, this way I'm going to get good quality. And since this is written in the Avoda of Shacharis, these four bads, so that teaches me that the begadim of greater quality, of superior quality, they should be of greater weight rather in the morning than in the afternoon. Now the Balei HaTosfos say that these four bads can be understood in the following way. The first bad is there just needed to teach you it has to be linen. Okay. Second bod is a language of livad, alone. What does it mean? That the Kohen Gadol does not wear the big day zahav like he does the rest of the year, the extra four garments, only livad. Only alone the four garments, the four white garments. The third bod is there to hint to us that it should be mufchar, from that better, it should be of better quality than regular the linen clothing he would wear on a typical day, or a regular Kohen would wear on a typical day. And the fourth bod is that the bod, the linen he wore in Shacharis, should be of better quality than he would wear in the afternoon. Then the Mishnah concludes, Elu Mishel Tzibur, these 30 mana, according to the Chachamim, or the 20 mana weight of these linen garments, of, according to Rabbi Meir, where would he get the money from? He would get the money from the Tzibur, from Hekdesh, to purchase these begadim. Vimratzala Hosef, if he wants to add more and buy even more expensive clothing, even of greater weight, greater than 30 according to the Chachamim, greater than 20 mana according to the Rabbi Meir, then Mosef Mishalo, then he has to take that out of his own pocket. Now, the way we understood the Mishnah is that the Mishnah is dealing with the four big day lavan, meaning altogether the big day lavan would equal this weight. However, if you look at the Rambam Hilchos Klei HaMikdash, there the Rambam says, "Big," and I quote, "Big day lavan heim arba'a kelim." There are four pieces of clothing. Shemishamish b'hem kohen gadol b'yom kippur. Very nice. Umin hamish pishton levado, and they're all made out of linen. And then he says, interestingly, "Ushte kutanos acheros hayu lo lekohen gadol." Kohen gadol had two different kutanos, just the shirt. Achas lov shabashachar va'achas bein harabayim ushtein b'shloshim mana mishal hekesh, and each of them were of 30 mana. So that sounds like, from the Rambam, that it's not all four clothing that equal the 20 mana or the 30 mana. The Rambam paskins 30 mana, like the Chachamim, like the majority opinion. But it's the fact that one kutonas alone was supposed to be 30 mana, and that's the only thing that was different that had this particular halacha. The Rambam also writes there, Big day lavan she'oved bahem b'yomatzom, Einu oved b'hem pam shni la'olam. The special clothing he wore on that day, he could not use anymore afterwards, even as a Kohen Gadol on a regular day of the year. Elo nignazin b'makom she'yifshar osam sham. You put him in Geniza, even asurim b'hana. There are asurim b'hana, and the Gemara brings a brisa like this on Daf Chavdal and Yoma. And we learn this from the pasuk. It says, "Ufashat es bigdei abad asher levash bevomin el hakodesh." Takes off the linen garments. V'hi nicham sham. What does "hi nicham sham" teach you? Just teach us that they require geniza to be put away, cannot be worn anymore, even on a future Yom Kippur. And others disagree and say, "No, a kohen gadol can wear them." And "v'hi nicham sham" is just teaching us that a kohen gadol should not wear them on another Yom Kippur. You have to make new ones. But a kohen gadol could wear it. So that's a debate. Perek Gimel Mishnah Ches. Bolo Eitzel Paro. So he's in the avodah of Yom Kippur, and he comes to his par, because the pasuk says, "Bizos yavo Aaron el hakodesh befar ben bakar lichatos," and the par had to come from his own money, as it says, the chaper ba'adova ad beso, and that's what it means. After he put on the big day lavan, he begins the avoda, and the first thing he did was come over to his par. Uparo, says the Mishnah, haya omeid ben ha'ulam v'lam izbeach. The par was standing in the north of the Azara, between the ulam, very close to the heichal, and the mizbeach, and the outer mizbeach. Gemara says, why was it right there, standing there in the middle? Because of we're concerned about the Kohen Gadol, becoming too tired of the Chulsha. He's going to be too weak, so he has to be with the dam, the blood, in the Mizrach and the Kli Shares to the Kodesh Kadoshim for the sprinkling as well. So we made it a little bit shorter from where the par was and put it in the place that's still kosher for Shechita. It's in the north, but it's close between the Ulam and the Mizbeach. Rosho, the head of the par, Lidorom, was facing south. Upanav Lamarov, and its face was, they turned it a little bit towards the west, towards the Hechel. The Gemara says, why didn't they just put, if that's the direction you wanted it, so put the head facing Marav and the back of the animal toward the Mizbeach in the east? Why do you have to have the back of the animal in the south and then kind of turn its head? Because we're afraid that the animal may relieve itself and it would be Gnaiver, a big disgrace, that the back of the animal should be facing the Mizbeach at that time. So this way, the back of the animal is towards the south. And this way, rather, they would place the head of the animal, rather, in the south. Achorov, and its back would be in the north. And this way, they would just turn its head towards the west, where the Heichel was. V'ha-Kohen, where was he standing, the Kohen Gadol? Omid b'Mizrach. He was standing in the east. His back is to the east, towards the Mizbeach. Ufonav Lamarav, and he's facing the Heichel. V'somech shtei yadav alav, and put his two hands on the par, between its two horns. I had to make sure there's no chatzitza on his hands, between his hands and the head of the animal. Umizvada. And he would confess. Shenehemar, the Mefarshim quote the Pasuk, v'hikriv, Aaron's parah hatas hashelo v'chiper bado v'abeso. This is his par, and he's getting kapar for himself and his family. And we derive from here that the pasuk means, what does it mean? V'chiper? Chiper is kaparas devarim, vidui, with words. So the par was not shechted yet. So therefore, you can't be referring to v'chiper, that he's getting atonement through the slaughtering, because the animal's still alive. So must be, when it says he brings the animal close, and v'chiper must be with words. V'kach hayomer, and this is what he was saying in his vidui. Ana Hashem, he would say the shem ha'meforosh. But that Tana just says Hashem, the shame, the shame of Mefarash, and he would say the following. This is the language of the Vidui. Avisi, Pashati, Chatasi, Lefanecha, Ani, Uvesi, all different types of words of a reference to sin. Avisi is a sin you do b'mezid, Pashati is where it's done rebelliously, with rebelliousness, and Chait is usually something that's done b'shogeg. We'll talk about the order in a little bit. Ani, Uvesi, I and my family, Ana Hashem, Kaperna, La Avonos, La Bshoim, La Chatoim, Vishi Avisi, Vishi Pashati, Vishi Chatos, the Fanecha, Ani Uvesi, Kakasum Visaras Moshe Abdecha, Kivayom Azi, Kaper Alechem, Vigomer. Meaning the Kohen Gadol would say the whole Pasuk. Kivayom Azi, Kaper Alechem, Tereshem, Kochatos, Echem, it's on this day Hashem will purify you from all your sins, Lefne Hashem Titaru. And even when he quoted that pasuk and he said lifnei Hashem titaru Hashem, he'd say the shema meforosh as well. So the Kohen would say the shema meforosh three times. He would say it three times. The third time was when he quoted that pasuk. The Hain, the Kohanim and the Am who was standing in the Azara when they heard the shema meforosh onin acharav baruch shem kevod malchuso li'olam v'ed. Pasuk says, Kishem Hashem Akra, Hovu Godel Elokeinu, Moshe has taught us that at the time that I mention the name of Hashem, you have to praise him, you have to elevate him. And we learn that's the source of Birchas HaTorah, according to one opinion. That's the source of responding to Baruch Hu. That's the source of Kishem Hashem Erko, according to one opinion, of the source of Zimun. One person calls out to two people, and they elevate Hashem as well. Now, the language of Avisi, Pashati, Chatasi, that order, is born in the Brisa in the Gemara in Yuma on Daf Lamed Vav. And the Brisa there says like this, Ketzan Mizvadeh, Avisi, Pashati, Chatasi. And that's true when it comes to the Surah Mishtaleach as well. The Pasuk says, V'hisvada elav eskol avonos b'nei Yisrael v'eskol pish'ehem l'chol chatosam. So that's the order in the Chumash. It's avonos first, then psharim next, and then chatoim afterwards. So it makes sense for us to do it based on the order of the Pesukim. And regarding Moshe as well, nosei avon v'fesha v'chata'a. Those are the words of Rabbi Meir. That's the order of Moshe. However, the Chachamim say that the following, that Avonos are Zedonos, referring to, as we mentioned before, our sins that are done b'mezid. Pshoim are Miradim, or where you do something lahachis, and Chatoim are Shkogos. And therefore, the Chachamim question, does it make any sense that we should be doing it in this order, which seems to be out of order? And therefore, we assume the vidui should be as follows: Chatasi v'avisi upashati l'fanach ani uvesi. In fact, David HaMelech says in Tehillim, Kuvav, Chatanu mavosenu, Chet, He'evinu, and then Hershanu. So the fact that Moshe said, Nosei avona fesha v'chata'ah, seems to be out of order. So what Moshe was saying like this was that when Am Yisrael do a chet in front of you, Hashem, and do tshuva, you should make the zidonos like shkagos. That's what I mean. Nosei avon v'fesha. I want you to forgive them for the avon and pesha v'chata'ah. Turn those into a chet. And there, the Rambam therefore says, the ikar is that we say vidui on the kalos, on the lighter ones, and then the chamuros. And therefore the seder ha-vidui for a yachid should be the same as the tzibur. And how should it go? It should go, chatanu, avinu, pashanu. So, our Mishnah is obviously following the opinion of Rabbi Meir, the fact that we have a visi, pashati, and then chatasi, and not like Rabbi Meir, not like the Chachamim, who say, no, it should be in the order of kalos first, then chamuros, chatanu, avinu, then pashanu. Nonetheless, the Chachamim of the Brisa is the way we pass, and the Rambam rules as well.